This morning, we're going to be going back to our sermon series on Haggai after a one-week brief. And we're going to wrap up this sermon series today. Allow me to read the passage for the sermon this morning. It's Ezra chapter 6, verses 13 to 15. And the elders of the Jews built and prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. They finished their building by decree of the God of Israel and by decree of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house, that is the second temple of the Lord, as we've been seeing, and this house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. We've been looking at the book of Haggai for 3 weeks before the last week. And if you remember, this book began with God calling out his people for ignoring the rebuilding of his temple, even as they built fancy homes for themselves. The people had just come back from exile and they were in the land, but their priorities were all wrong. God's temple lay in ruins while their own houses were being furnished and decorated. And as we saw over the 3 weeks, when God called them out for their sin, they repented, they obeyed, they began rebuilding the temple. And we saw God's covenantal presence, if you remember, and God's covenantal faithfulness helped them to begin rebuilding the temple. From the time Haggai, God first spoke through the prophet Haggai, till the passage that we just read, where they finished building the temple, the second temple, it was roughly a four and a half year time period. 4.5 years from the time God called them out and they repented and obeyed till the time these people finished rebuilding the second temple. What we're going to do today is to reflect on each step of their journey of renewal that the people walked through during these 4.5 years. And as we walk through every step of their journey of renewal, we're also going to look at our own lives here in Mumbai and see what our journey of renewal should look like. So I'm going to go back and give us a quick overview in a minute, and then we're going to unpack each of these steps of renewal. If you're here over the last 3 weeks for this series, you'll be able to track with us. Even if not, we're still going to unpack it for everyone, and you can still go back and listen to these sermons online. It all began with God calling out their sin. And we saw immediately after that, the people repented. And when they repented, they followed their repentance with real obedience. But even as they obey, they still face discouragement. And when they face discouragement, God assures them with his covenantal presence. I'll explain what that is. God calls them to persevere. And as they persevere, he reveals his covenantal faithfulness. And as they falter again, he exposes their need for righteousness, their need for holiness, and he sanctifies them. And in the end, he reminds them of his unshakable covenantal faithfulness and he blesses them. This is the journey that God's people walked through in the book of Haggai. And this entire cycle took about 4.5 years. Renewal takes time. There are things and aspects in our lives where God changes us momentarily in an instant. But there are so often areas and aspects of our lives where God works slowly. He works patiently and he works surely. And we're going to be walking through each of these steps. Let's start with the first step, God calling out the sin of his people. God calls his people to consider the futility of their self-centered lives. Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. Consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvested little. You eat, But you never have enough. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. God begins by confronting his people. The people were saying the time has not yet come to rebuild the temple of the Lord. But that wasn't true at all. It wasn't about timing. It was about priorities. They were building paneled homes for themselves while God's house lay in ruins. And so God says, consider your lives. Look at your life. And this resonates with us in Mumbai. Look at your lives. You work hard, but the harvest is meager. You eat, but you're never satisfied. You earn, but it's like the wages just don't last. You go to bed, but you can't sleep. And this is a description of what life looks like when we push God, Jesus, to the margins, to the very periphery of our lives, instead of where Jesus should be, at the very center of it all. And so here's the warning for us in this passage. Sin is not just about breaking rules or doing evil things. Sin is misplaced devotion. Sin is disordered loves. Sin is putting ourselves first and God second. And it never leaves us fulfilled. And so as we look at our own sin, especially in a busy city like Mumbai, here's a question for us to reflect on our journey of renewal. This morning, as we walk through each step of how God's people were renewed, I'm going to offer for us some questions for reflection, for us to look into our own hearts and pray at the end of the sermon as we journey through each step. And so here's something for us to reflect on. How do we respond when God calls out our sins? God is sanctifying us. He is calling us, calling out our sins. He does so as we read his word. Sometimes he does so through people, through leaders, through the Sunday worship, through the sermon. But how do we respond when God calls out our sin? Do we immediately become defensive? Do we justify our behavior? Over the years, we've known a few people who leave the church the moment you even suggest that they may be sinning in something. Do we choose denial? Or do we humble ourselves, search our hearts, and turn to God for help? Unless we do this, the renewal journey, we can never begin our own renewal journey. It all begins with humble repentance. And that's what the people did, and that's the second step, repentance. God's people did not deny their sin. If you remember, it was not just God's people. Even Zerubbabel, their leader, God called him out too. But they all repented. Then Zerubbabel, Haggai 1:12, and Joshua with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the people feared their Lord. What happens next is remarkable. The people listened. They obeyed the voice of the Lord. They had a good reverential fear of the Lord. For years, the temple had been left in ruins. For years, they had excused their neglect, but now, in just a few weeks, things began to pick up. They turned back. They gave themselves to the task of rebuilding the temple. Chapter 1, verse 14 says, the Lord stirred up their spirits. This is so important. Repentance is not just us pulling ourselves up. Repentance is God working in us, turning our hearts, shaking us awake, giving us the will to act. And their repentance was real. These people, they just didn't feel guilty. They just didn't feel convicted, but they got to work. Repentance always leads to action. When God stirs our hearts, it's not just enough if we just feel bad. But we change direction. We move into action. And as we consider the second step of renewal in their journey, here's a question for us to reflect in our journey. In our hearts, could we describe what repentance really looks like in our lives? Does our repentance begin and end with just feeling sorry? Or by faith, does it also flow into tangible action that leads to transformation? And the third step in their journey as they rebuild the temple was obedience, and obedience that came by faith. Obedience always follows genuine repentance. Their repentance flowed into obedience. The Bible and the book of Haggai says on the 24th day, they resumed the work on the temple. Think about this. Nothing had changed outwardly. Their circumstances had not changed at all when they began to obey and rebuild the temple. They were still short of resources. Their fields were still bare. There was still opposition that loomed, but by faith, they obeyed. Obedience flowed even though there was absolutely no change in the situation around them. And what does God say to them? He assures them, he strengthens them. Haggai 1 chapter 13. Then Haggai spoke to the people with the Lord's message and he said, I am with you, declares the Lord. This is a turning point in their journey. Their small faltering steps of obedience is met by God's massive promise of his presence. And this is how obedience works. His grace stirs us. He calls us to repentance. He calls us to faith. His grace stirs us. And by his power, we take the first small step of obedience. And the moment we take that first small step of obedience, more grace flows into our lives. And here's the question for us to reflect on about our obedience. When God speaks to us, when God lays something in our hearts through his word, in other ways, when God speaks to us, do we obey even though the circumstances around us do not change? And what is it that God is calling you to right now that you need to obey him? Is there something God's laying on your heart? Now is the time to just pray a prayer of obedience, asking him for his grace. But even though they obeyed faithfully, they obeyed wholeheartedly, they gave themselves to the work of rebuilding the second temple, and yet they faced discouragement. This was not a fairy tale ending to the story. Even though they obeyed, they still faced discouragement. And that's true for all of us too. I'm sure all of us have experienced this. When we faithfully set to seek and to build his kingdom, we saw we will face both internal and external discouragement. Haggai chapter 2 verse 3. Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Some of the older people who'd come back to exile after 70 years, they remembered the first temple that was built by Solomon. And they looked at the new temple and they thought, this is nothing compared to the old. And the younger ones got discouraged too. They looked, what they were building looked so small, looked so unimpressive. And this is our story too. We take a step of faith, we obey, and we look around. And then it feels like whatever we are doing is just such a small drop in a vast ocean. And we get discouraged. But we saw from Haggai that God doesn't brush this discouragement aside. He names it. He lets his people feel the discouragement, but he also speaks into it. He calls them to acknowledge their discouragement, but he also speaks into it. And as we consider their story of renewal, and as we look at ours, as you look at yours, I think here's a very important question for reflection. How do we respond to discouragement? What's our first response? What's a response? What response to discouragement are we characterized by? Do we immediately feel God has forgotten us? Or in that discouragement, do we still cling to Him? Do we still persevere and seek His presence and seek His provision through the discouragement? It's something for us to think about. And maybe even right now, just take a minute to pray. Take a moment to pray that our response to discouragement would be faith, not unbelief. That our response to the troubles of this life would be to look to Jesus and not to feel completely discouraged and give up. Not to feel alone, not to feel helpless. And as God's people were going through their discouragement, the fifth step in their journey of renewal is God comes through with a promise of His covenantal presence. As we saw a couple of weeks ago, God assures His people with His covenantal presence. Work, God told them in Haggai chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Work, God tells them, for I am with you, declares the Lord, according to the covenant I made with you when you came out of Egypt. God is not merely assuring of us of His presence. He is assuring us of His covenantal presence. A covenant is a binding relational agreement. As if God's word is not enough, God is saying that He will be with us and that He is signing and sealing a binding, holy, and legal contract guaranteeing that He will be with us. That is what the word covenantal presence means. And God's speaking encouragement into our discouragement. Work, for I am with you. Not because they were good, not because they were strong, but because He was with them. And in every one of our discouragement, God's covenantal presence is always with us. If our faith in Jesus is true, there is never a moment of struggle or difficulty or hardship or discouragement where God's covenantal presence, the very presence of Christ, is not with us. And a question for us to reflect on this step of the renewal journey. We all know that God's covenantal presence is always with us. But the question is, how are we drawing strength from His covenantal presence? How are we going to and drawing strength from His covenantal presence? Can we take just a moment now to list down the rhythms and practices we have of drawing strength from God's presence? If I were to ask you, how would you describe your practice, your rhythm of drawing strength from God's covenantal presence? If you were to describe your life this last couple of years, how would you describe the reality of how you have enjoyed God's covenantal presence? More than just knowing it. We all know it. But in practice, in life, how are we actually going to and enjoying His covenantal presence? That's the fifth step in their renewal. And as they do that, the sixth step of their renewal is they begin to persevere. God's people looked to God and they persevered. They found strength in God and they went back to persevere in building the temple. Perseverance isn't dramatic. It's a very quiet, steady plodding of faithfulness. And that's what happened in their lives. One stone on another stone. one stone on another stone, day after day. They did not see immediate results. The results they saw were hardly encouraging, but because God had promised His presence, they experienced His presence, and they persevered on. And quite often in our lives, that's what faith looks like. Faith is not just receiving a miracle and seeing everything change instantaneously. God does that. He can still do it, and He does that. But faith is also a steady plowing, one step after another, one stone after the other. Somebody described perseverance as a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction, trusting that God will bring fruit in His time. The question for our reflection: what is it that God is calling you to persevere through right now? What is the one thing that God is calling you to persevere through right now? And even though we sin and we slip and we often fail on this journey, God's covenantal presence, His faithfulness, sanctifies us. That brings us to the seventh step in the renewal process, the reality of covenantal faithfulness. Haggai chapter 2, verses 18 to 19. But consider this, consider from this day onward, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, is the seed yet in the barn. From this day on, I will bless you. Before God makes this promise, He just expose their lukewarm hearts. We're coming to that in just a minute. But He still blesses them. He assures them of His faithfulness. This is sobering, because as we saw, even though they were building the temple as the days went by, even though they were building their temple, their hearts over time became lukewarm and it was far away from God. They were merely going through the motions. And they began well. But along the way, their hearts became lukewarm and they were just going through their motions. They assumed that because they were still doing the activity, the work of building the temple, they assumed they were faithful, but God is calling them to say that more than the behavior, more than the external actions, more than the activities, it is the posture, it is the state of their heart that matters more. And yet, God moves. And He comes to them with grace and He says, from this day on, I will bless you. They were impure. Their offerings were inadequate. Their offerings were unclean. And yet God says, I will bless you. This is God's covenantal faithfulness. His unchanging promise. And the question for us to reflect on as we think about our own journey of renewal is, how are we experiencing God's faithfulness? God's presence is always with us, but how are we experiencing His faithfulness? I was thinking of an illustration of a skydiver. And the skydiver straps on a parachute before he boards the flight. And when the time comes, he's going to jump off the flight into the skydive. He's got his parachute. I think of the parachute as God's presence, which is always with us. But when the skydiver kind of boards the flight, he's probably checking the parachute, but he's not really depending on the parachute. And when he's on the flight, he's not depending on the parachute. And if he just lands, he would have done nothing with the parachute. But when he takes that leap of faith, and when he or she goes into the skydive, that's when he pulls the cord and the parachute comes out, and that's when he gets to test God's covenantal faithfulness. It is only when we persevere that we get to really experience His presence in the form of His covenantal faithfulness. So the question for us to reflect on, is there one area where God is calling you to persevere with a devoted heart and not with a lukewarm heart. The eighth step is sanctification. It is only when we seek to persevere through discouragement, as these people did, it is only when we seek to persevere through discouragement that the real state of our hearts become clear. And it is at this stage that God's people had become lukewarm. They had given into distraction. They were merely going through the motions. The love for God had faded away from their hearts, as it does so often in our lives too. But once again, God calls them out and God sanctifies them. And that's when a new chapter began. It was up and down. Renewal is not one straight curve, us being faithful all the way through. No, renewal is these up and down, up and down, up and down journey of our unfaithfulness and God's steadfast love and His eternal faithfulness. The question for our reflection here is: our worship and serving flowing from our love for Christ, or are we merely going through the motions? We need to test our hearts at every step of the journey. Then the last step, the blessing of God. If you remember Haggai, God calls out His people for their sins twice. But He never abandons them. He never condemns them. Even their leader Zerubbabel had failed. But God comes through in covenantal faithfulness. And God promises, individually picks out Zerubbabel and promises, saying, "Zerubbabel, I'm going to make you like a signet ring." God tells them, "For I have chosen you." And so the book of Haggai ends, not with rebuke, but with blessing. Not with despair, but with hope. The book of Haggai ends not with the unfaithfulness of His people, but the faithfulness of God. It began with God calling out the sin of the people, "Consider your ways." And it ends with the promise of assurance, "I have chosen you," God telling Zerubbabel. And that kind of eventually coming to fulfillment in Christ, with Zerubbabel being one of the very ancestors of Christ. Christ descending from Zerubbabel, in the line of Zerubbabel. From sin to blessing, from emptiness to promise. And as we look at all of these steps for renewal, this is the pathway of renewal. God calls out our sin, He stirs repentance, He leads us into obedience. We will face discouragement when we seek to obey, but He assures us of His covenantal presence. He calls us to persevere. He reminds us of His covenantal faithfulness. He sanctifies us when we slip, and He blesses us. And this was the people, this was the journey that God's people did, and this is the journey that we need to make every single day in our renewal.